Hello everyone and welcome to the Priceless Podcast. My name is Michael Sechen. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Please subscribe to this channel, like, and after you've seen this video, you can comment in the comment section below. And of course, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And how you can follow us is right here on the screen. So today I have a new guest and her name is Tanja Grabovac and she is from Bosnia and Herzegovina. And I'm so excited that I have someone from my region finally on this podcast. So hello, Tanja, and welcome to the Priceless Podcast.
So nice to be here with you and with your followers. For me, what is important is a human as a person. And is it a transgender? Is it any? Is it does not want to even identify themselves as a toward any gender? That's all relevant. What is like? But me, I want to say what me, but for me, the relevant is the person. Is there their feelings, their life stories, so and not the gender. So I still have struggled to identify myself. And then I came to the point, okay, I don't even need to identify myself. It is close to bisexuality, pansexuality, but it's very open sexuality. First, of the high school, of unaware, of not being, we were not educated. It was just 10 to 15 years after the war that we had in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the topics of LGBT activism was not present there. And then it came after my faculty with the feminist school of Žarana Papić in Sarajevo, and all the questioning of myself, of my ability to find same or other sex on the same way, attractive, they're able to feel emotions towards same and opposite sex, they're able to feel love, and you know, and then later also this identification that I already said. I would make two classification of challenges for me. One is, I would tell it outside challenges, and here I mean all of my relations and challenges that I experience with colleagues, other theologians, with the church or some persons from the church. And then the second categorization, I would call it like what were the inner challenges, like in relation, like just for myself. I would say that, of course, there are these or similar other experiences where you see that, okay, people would judge you or even feel uncomfortable the topics that you are researching. And sometimes, I mean, this also hurts sometimes. And then I come to this second inner challenges. It's how I process all of this outside challenges, the communication with the persons. I don't feel ashamed, I must be honest, and I don't want to feel ashamed. I think on the inner side, I must tell, I have less challenges. I noticed, okay, that one of the field in theology I want to do is I want to stay connected with people. I want to stay connected with people who are in the church to see which are their needs. And that's why I choose pastoral and practical theology, because there are so many different people inside of the Catholic Church. There are so many different groups. There are so many that these groups and these people don't feel support in the church, don't find the support in the church. They don't find research for them. For me, on the beginning, it was very clear that I want to go to PhD, that I want the topic that is oriented toward gender or LGBTIQ queer. And when I come to the moment of realizing that in our region, in our Western Balkan region, there are no, unfortunately, researchers, no research that are connecting queer and LGBTIQ with any of religious communities. I was thinking, okay, this is a challenge, but that's also the opportunity you know, then we have to write the first works. I want to really see the broad question, how is it possible and is it even possible for LGBTIQ plus persons inside of the Catholic Church, how and is it even possible that they, how they shape their identities, how they shape these two identities together. There was in 2019 first parade in Sarajevo, and my mom knew I'm going, I'm open. I think she always knew I'm open, and I would always try to, you know, correct her thoughts about the homosexuality or LGBT persons. She was completely fine. She knew I'm open, I'm going to the parade, but it was still the topic, you know, just take care, you know, the Bosnian Herzegovinian society, it can come to, you know, parents are having these fears that it may come to some attacks or the violence, someone would recognize you on the street. So from her point of view, it was okay, just take care, you know, take care of yourself, that's it. There are many levels when it comes about the family. I do know that there are many members of my cousins or families that they don't have open views about the homosexuality, about the LGBTIQ persons. So I also have like a close cousin that is gay, the other cousin that is bisexual. So I do have like in the family, those persons who are LGBTIQ, I have those who would like my researchers support, also those who really struggle with it because of the Catholic Church understandings and statements. When the first LGBTIQ parade was organized in 2019, that some of the statements that were coming from the Catholic Church and from this media, the official media from the Catholic Church in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and their statements toward homosexuality and the LGBTIQ parade was critical. That they cannot see the connection between human rights and LGBTIQ rights. So here we are talking that the LGBTIQ rights were not considered as a human right. So we are talking about very critical and dangerous statements that are coming within the Catholic Church in Bosnia and Herzegovina that many believers will read, and then they will also feel the inner struggles how to accept the LGBTIQ parades, you know, every year in Bosnia and Herzegovina with this, let's say, some of the official statements of the Catholic Church. I did a qualitative study. It means I've done 6 interviews with LGBTIQ persons. There is huge amount of pain, huge amount of discrimination that they feel. I needed, honestly, after I've done 6 interviews, I was like few weeks after that needed, you know, emotionally to come to myself, because you hear a lot of heavy stories from the family, from the church, both of identity being a believer, and that the faith and the LGBTIQ identities means together so much of them that they don't want to castrate one of the identities. One of them mentioned that it is painful, you know, to go to the Mass on Sunday and hear that the priest would tell some discriminatory words about the LGBTIQ identities, and then how they were telling, you know, you are sitting in the church, you're hearing this, you know, that's you know, you are gay and this hurts you, they would say. And then this brings lot of stress, lot of high levels of stress, lot of depression also to people. And then that this one gay man said, and this sentence will, I think, always stay with me, that often when he's sitting in the church, he feels such a huge amount of fear, and he was thinking and asking himself, like, and he's talking like with the God, he's telling, I'm talking with the God, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, like how now these persons around me in the church, how they would react if they just realize that I'm gay. But still there are persons who wanna stay in the church, who wanna put these two identities together. And it's a huge question, will church see on responsibility? These persons I interview never rent any, they don't know any open pastoral space for them in the church, in Catholic Church in Bosnia. They did not hear about it. They don't know nobody. There are no any open practice inside, open practices inside of the Catholic Church in Bosnia toward LGBTIQ persons. Some of them said that they do know that they have some that they know some priests with whom they can talk nicely and openly. One of the biggest question is, you know, the responsibility of church, but not just the church, you know, it's responsibility of all the theology. I think there is a hope, not just to tell it, there's always a hope. No, because I really truly believe that there is a hope. First of all, because LGBTIQ plus topics are and will be way much more present in our societies. Being present in a society, it means that it will be way much more present also in the theology. And I'm seeing this in a, I'm writing in a German area on German, and I'm seeing this, and I live here since five and a half years. So I'm seeing that there are more and more researchers and researching articles or books on the on the topic of LGBTIQ and queer, more and more present inside of the theology. And also the church will more and more react, some of the dioceses, some of the bishops. And I do really believe that it will come more and more also in our region, in Croatia, in Bosnia, in Serbia. So I do have a hope that there will be created some of the places. So I do have a hope that this research will be one space, one place where the new theologians, but also the others, they don't need to be theologians, but where the new generations will have one place to see it. And that for LGBTIQ persons who are in the church, but also the other religious communities, that they will see, okay, there was something. There is one place, and there were these interviews, there were these people in Bosnia, and okay, I feel them. I also asked my interview partners, what are their needs from the church, from priests? What do they expect? You know, what are their expectations? What do they really need? And I came to be surprised, actually, because what people need from priests and from the church is not so much. You know, the people would tell me that they just need one small safe place for them in the church. Just that the priests are not directly discriminating from the altar in the church and the mass. A bit of will to understand me, a bit of will to talk with me, not immediately to push me away. If church and priests make just one small step to tell, okay, let's hear LGBTIQ persons, let's hear queer identities, just with the will to understand and to see you and to see, okay, you exist here. You're one part of the church, your existence matter. And so this is what surprised me. And this is very important maybe for priests to know, for church to know, that maybe people don't expect from the church immediately, I don't know so much, but a bit.
Thank you, Tanya, for being my guest. Thank you, dear viewers and listeners, for being with us. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Don't forget to subscribe. Press right now. Like, and of course, now you can also comment in the comment section below. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can donate if you want to support this podcast, because this podcast relies on donations. See you next time in the next episode. Until then, bye everyone, and bye Tanya.
Bye Mihail, and thank you once more. This place you're making is priceless and precious.